So, again, good morning, and it's good to be back. I want to thank Pop again for giving me 2 weeks of regeneration and recovery because I needed it. I was being dogged at work real bad. But I'm here, I'm refreshed, and I'm ready to give you guys some things that God has been speaking to me, and I am very certain that we are going to get some interesting bits of information from what God has been sharing. So if you would, turn to Proverbs 29, and I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, God, for your word, first and foremost, God, how it continues to speak to our hearts, to remind us of what it is that you are ultimately always at work doing, God. You continue, God, to train us, raise us, and bring us up in your righteousness, God, through your word. It strengthens us, God. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, God. And Lord, we see the truth, and we know how it applies to our lives. So God, let your truth go out today. Let it be applicable to our lives, God. Let it find fertile soil in our hearts, and let it manifest and grow so that we can produce fruit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Everybody's at Proverbs 29. You can go right to verse 18. But before we get to there, I want us to take a minute and just reflect on what today is going to be about. So today is about revelation, creating an expectation. We come here on Sundays, right? And we worship. And then we sit and we listen to this guy talk a bunch about nothing, right? No. Okay. Now we listen to hear what God is saying, and God uses his anointed to give that information and disperse that information, correct? But how many of us just do this only on Sunday? Is this the only day you worship the King and get fed by the Word of God? If so, you're in danger. That's a problem. Is God only speaking through me? Is he speaking through you? Right. You know, I'm getting the answers. Yes, he should be, right? We hear this, right? The reason I can say this is because Jesus came and broke the barrier that actually kept this process being controlled by those elites, right? Because prior to Jesus, where did you get the word from? You had to get it from the religious elites, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. You had to wait for them to be oh so gracious to want to come to your town and community to share the good news of what God has been doing. But Jesus came and he said, oh no. It's not on your timing. It's on the Lord's timing. And there isn't just the people you select and choose that get this. It's everybody. It's not just for your particular niche of people. That's why Jesus was not liked by them, because he broke their codes and what they saw as appropriate and what they felt was right. Jesus just smacked them in the face and said, no, this is for everybody, right? Jesus in us now opens up that relationship so that we do not have to wait for the holy man in church on Sunday to give me the message. You don't need me. You shouldn't need me. All I'm here to do is reinforcing what you already know. Is that not right? Do you agree with that? So, we live now in a world where we can have as much of God as we want. The question is, why do we engage with him so little? We can have absolutely as much. There's an overabundance. Is he exhaustible? Can you drain God? Can you run him empty? Nope. So why do we settle for so little? So let's dig in. Proverbs 29, verse 18. It's real short. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Now, I want us to focus on the first part of that. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. In other terms, revelation keeps us in line with God's plan and His purpose. Do we agree? Come on. Yes, right? Does everybody here know what revelation is? Some might say truth. Some might say what? You said yes. Spirit revealed truth. Okay, that's evident in your life. Anybody else want to take a stab at it? You know I'm going to give it to you anyway. Understanding. Understanding God's laws. Okay. Here it is. I'm going to give it to you straight from the book that keeps on giving, Webster's 1828 dictionary. You should have known that beforehand. The act of disclosing or discovering to others what was before unknown to them. Appropriately, the disclosure or communication of truth to men by God Himself or by His authorized agents, the prophets and the apostles. I'll say it again, so we get it all in, okay? The act of disclosing or discovering to others what was before unknown to them. Appropriately, the disclosure or communication of truth to men by God Himself or by His authorized agents, the prophets and the apostles. Now, clearly, we're talking more about the second half, right? Because if it's something you just didn't know and God just goes, oh, hey, did you know this? You go, no, that's revelation. But that could be literally anything, right? You could be reading God's word and all of a sudden this just atom bomb goes off and it just opens up and you're like, oh, I never knew. That's revelation, right? But the second part of this definition is really where it is, right? The disclosure or communication of truth to men by God Himself or by His authorized agents or the prophets or the apostles. God wants to continually and always communicate His truth to us for a reason. Does anybody know why? What is the reason why God continually is speaking to His people and communicating His truth to His people? Because we get it the first time? Because we get it the first time, right? Because we need friendly reminders? Because it's a constant washing or regeneration? Truth sets us free? I hear all these really good answers. There's some sinful nature problem, so we gotta always deal with and struggling that, right? Here's the reason. Revelation is God's way of displaying truth to us for His direction and His instruction. Again, revelation is God's way of displaying truth to us for His direction and His instruction. Direction and instruction is used to do many things. Let's take it into real life. Directions and instructions help us to do what? Keep order. Think about it. You need directions and instructions in order to keep order. Anybody here with kids? You give your kids clear and concise instructions so that they stay in order, right? If they don't, they get disciplined so they stay in order. You have rules and guidelines for them to follow so that you are not pulling your kids off of the ceiling. This keeps order, right? Completing tasks. I don't know about you, but have you ever bought anything from IKEA? You open a box, it gives you one screwdriver and one hammer, and you have to put this giant bookcase together. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to read the instructions so it goes together correctly, right? You complete a task using directions and instructions. This helps us, right? Navigating paths. I heard somebody say, was it you that said, go, like, navigating courses, right? Navigating your path or navigating a course. I don't know about you, but GPS helps me get from point A to point B. It gives me turn by turn directions, right? That'd be really hard to get from point A to point B without knowing how to get there, right? And I've already kind of noted at this, but this is super duper important in raising children. You need to have directions and instructions in order to raise children. Because if not, children will run wild. They will do whatever they want. And we, as the children of God, will go and do whatever we want unless we have what? Directions and instructions. So revelation of God is meant to keep us in order and to raise us in righteousness. That's why it's so important to us, right? How does revelation come? It can be verbal or visual, and it can be made manifest, or it can be remaining hidden by the Spirit. So that means you could hear audibly the word, or you can hear the word in your spirit, or you could see something through a what? Vision. Or you can actually see physically something that God is showing to you and going, hey, look at that tree over there. And then he reveals something awesome about that tree to you. Okay? Regardless of how God wants to give us his revelation, we have a job to do. It's our job to recognize it and to what? Respond. Apply. Right? You cannot just take the revelation of God that he gives to you and do nothing with it. Because I will apply this to the same principle of children again, right? Because most of us have kids. Or already are kids. Whatever. Tell your kid, stop doing this XYZ thing. If they don't actually stop doing the XYZ thing, you ultimately assume what? They weren't listening. They were distracted. They weren't paying attention to you. This is clear, right? Now, you have a very good reason for why you told them to stop doing XYZ thing, right? Probably, maybe most importantly, for their safety. How many times do you think God gives people in his community, the church, right? The kingdom of God himself, gives his people revelation to protect them from hurting themselves? Right? So how many things do we probably put upon ourselves that would have been probably avoided had we just been listening to God in the first place and responding to the things that he has given to us to do or what he has said or applying those things, right? This is super important. Romans 1. A little bit of scripture in here today, so. But I apologize, it is bouncing around a bit. But it will all come together. Romans 1, 19 and 20. And it's right in the middle. But because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. This is confirmation of literally everything I just said. Everything. Right? God's revelation is everywhere and in everything. We need only open our eyes and listen more so to what he is saying and how he is speaking to us. Amen? If we're not hearing God, is it because he's not speaking? So where's the problem lie? It's us, right? Okay? So this then goes and bars the ultimate question of, what's God saying to you? Because what he's saying to you and to you and to you is not going to always be the same thing that he's saying to me. And we'll get to that point in just a minute, right? When God gives revelation to us, he does so with an expectation. Christians today, however, have become lazy in this one area. And I believe the reason is because of the expectations. Because we like to be in a place with God where we have no expectations over us. I can't disappoint God if he doesn't expect me to do anything. Think about that. Because how many people want to be a disappointment to God? How many people want to let Dad down? No. But if I don't have the expectations, then, well, I can't let him down. So if I just kind of ignore him, then he doesn't expect anything of me, but therefore then I'm not disappointing him. So that's the thinking, right? God has a purpose for us and a greater purpose for all creation, and they all work together. And Paul explains this in Corinthians by explaining how the many parts of the body work, right? Each part works together, connected one to another, to help do what? Just nothing? Or are we actually helping to accomplish a greater goal? Right? The body works together to make all the other parts work so that something bigger and greater can be done in the end, right? It's purposeful and it's connected. If parts don't listen, however, they believe they aren't responsible for what they didn't know. Think about it. If I just don't listen, like I said, well, I didn't know, so, I mean, I can't be held responsible for what I didn't know, right? Officer, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to do 50 in this area. Did you see the speed limit sign? No, I didn't see that. Do you think you get off the ticket because you didn't know that it was 50? No, right? Okay? If we use this example, though, of the body, right, and the parts of the body working together, right? If your hand just all of a sudden decided to stop working while you're driving your truck, would it be okay because your hand just said, well, I don't feel like working right now? Think about it. Or what about when you're trying to eat your sandwich later and your hand just literally said, nope, can't close. You'll be doing this. Trying to eat your sandwich. Hang it up like this and try to figure out how to do it because your hands are just like this the whole time. Like paper. Do we see why that's a problem? Do we see why if any part of the body just decides all of a sudden, hey, by the way, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like it today. What effect does that, think about that, just the eating part, right? What effect does that have on the rest of the body? If my hands can't pick up food and bring it to my mouth, I'm going to have a problem, aren't I? I'm probably not going to get the food that I need in my body for the day. That could cause other issues. Everything affects everything. One part affects the whole, right? Little leaven leavens the whole lump. So let's get some examples of what it looks like when we listen and obey. Turn to Ezekiel. My boy Zeke. Zeke. Big Zeke, right? Big Zeke 3. 10 and 11. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. And go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. What can we learn from this example in Ezekiel? I will explain. We'll take it bit by bit. Very first thing, receive unto me your heart all my words that I speak to you. We have to receive all of his words into our heart, right? What does that mean? Well, first of all, his word is what? What's his word? Come on, quiz time. Written? Right? Are you waiting for God to just audibly speak to you in order to receive it to your heart? Or do you have it right here at your disposal, always? It's here, right? If you do not read and study your word, and you do not listen to what God is saying to you and implant it where? Into your heart. Are you going to hear him better or worse? You're not going to hear him very well because you're not going to recognize his voice. That's why he says this to Zeke. He says, you need to bring me into your heart all these words that I speak into you so you will know my voice better when I say, thus says the Lord. You're going to know my voice. It's imperative for God's people to start to know the voice of the Lord. And the only way you're going to know the voice of the Lord is if you pour more of his voice into your heart. Amen? Are we listening? And how do we get the word? By hearing and hearing the word of God, right? That's how we bring it and put it deeper into our heart. right? Next thing. And hear with your ears. We have to listen. We have to be alert. Prophets are known as the watchmen, right? Because they're on the watchtower. They're listening and waiting. They're alert. They're attentive. If we're not listening attentively, right? How many people tell their kids, put on your listening ears before you tell them something important, right? You tell them to do that because what you're about to tell them is important. You want to bring their attention to the things that are needing to be heard. Well, I don't know about you, but when God's speaking, every word he says is important. Do we agree or disagree? So I should always be attentive and listening, right? This is not just, however, to hear what God is saying. It goes beyond that. God tells us when. He tells us where. He sometimes will tell us who and why. And he always tells us how. We have to be listening so we know those things. Because here's where a lot of problems come in, church. We believe what God's saying here in his word. And we get revelation about what God's saying to me about a specific thing. But then we cut God off right there and we forget the who, the where, the when, the why, and the how. And we go out before we're supposed to. And then we go, well, what happened? I don't understand, Lord. You told me. And he's just sitting there going, you didn't listen. You jumped before I said jump. You went to Chicago instead of going to Detroit. Oh, I didn't get that part. Exactly. Because you stopped what? Listening. Too often, we assume what God's trying to say because we get the little beginning part of the sentence and we do this. Oh, I can finish the sentence for you, God. I know what you're going to say. Stop it. That's not disciplined. That's not okay. I know you do that from time to time. You try to finish sentences that Dad says. Stop it. Let Dad tell you what to do. Don't try to finish the sentence. It's a bad behavior that we adopt because we believe that we are seasoned and we know what God's going to say. Guess what? Just when I think I know what God's going to say, he goes, watch this. Go left. But wait, what? I'm supposed to go right. Go left. Okay, Lord. A left we go. I always go back to this one illustration. I think the worship team was going down to a conference and, things happened, and the Lord had, you know, there was a delay, and we couldn't get things going, and the Lord kind of always kept this peace of mind about everything going down was going to be fine, and our team was really getting stressed out about it, but as our team goes down, they literally see this humongous accident that had already been, like, starting getting cleaned up and everything like that. Had they left on time, that could have been them instead. Again, the when, the where, the how, the why. If we don't listen to God completely, we could end up putting ourselves into situations that we're not supposed to be in. Now, continuing on. And go get the captains, the children of your people, speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord. Whether they hear or whether they refuse. His instruction is to be followed regardless of outcome. Regardless of outcome, we get this in so wrong, so often, so many times, right? This is where we fail. We see negative outcomes and we hesitate or we withdraw completely because we can project and we can see, oh, nope, this isn't going to turn out good. I already see this isn't going to work out. I'm just going to bail. If you hesitate or you withdraw completely, what is that called? It is disobedience. Whether delayed or not, it's still disobedience. So remember how I said we're always sitting here trying to not put expectations on us, right? Because we don't want to disappoint God. The second you decided to go into that category, you've already disappointed God because you are operating in what? Disobedience. And get this. If you are operating in disobedience, do you think you're going to be able to hear clearly what God has to say next? Nope. Not unless you do what? He got you out of, he bailed you this time. I'll let you slide. Let's check another example. So we did an OT, we did an OT example. Let's check in a new T example. Turn with me to Acts. Towards the end. Not Acts 29. 26. Acts 26, 12 through 18, right? This is Paul recounting his conversion. While thus occupied, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from chief priests. At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? I love that part. Who are you, Lord? Yes. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So here's another example of God speaking and the other person on the other end having a listening experience. What can we learn? Well, first thing we learn is, what did he do when the voice of the Lord spoke? What did he do? He's asking to for this spirit that is speaking to him to reveal himself. Let me tell you, church, it is okay and expected for us to test the spirit. We do this also poorly. We just think every time a voice is starting to speak to me and it sounds like God, it must be God. And now, what do we sign ourselves up for? A whole lot of hurt. Because guess what the devil likes to do? He likes to disguise himself as the angel of the Lord and speak even the words that God himself has written, but just twist it just enough to get you off of the direction that God has. But we can identify the voice of the Lord because it rightly judges us. He rightly judges us. And it's okay. I hate people that are like, stop judging me. No, actually, no. Please do judge me, Lord. I want to make sure I'm okay. Check me. Examine my heart. Right? Afterwards, what else do we get? We can understand that revelation can come instantly or over time. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of believers are very impatient when it comes to the things of the Lord. Most importantly, when God says, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your life. Paul's recounting what God said, and he had a plan for his life. Was his plan instant? Nope. He even told him. He says, I'm going to give you some of it now, and then I'm also going to give you even more of it later. He told him that it would be revealed to him later. But we are so impatient and insisting on God giving us all of the details so that I can make my plans accordingly. Is it about you or is it about him? I don't know. What is revealed could be in either word or in vision, and it may only be in part, right? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. You got that there, brother? It's the last one there, I think. Right? For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. If I'm counting on all of you to complete the revelation that God has for me, that requires that all of you are doing what? Listening. I need you all to listen and hear what God is saying. Because it's important, because we as the church here, Streams, is going to go and do God's will. It's not going to be because one person heard the whole thing. God wants to use all of us collectively. And because it can come over time, what do you think we should be doing about all of these bits and pieces that God gives us? Whoo! Write it down. Because I don't know about y'all, but my memory sucks. If God told me something today, I guarantee you by tomorrow I'd forget. How's your memory? About that good? No? How's yours? Is it, do you need God to email it to you? Okay. I'll get on that. I'll make sure he emails it to you and, you know, gets it up there for you. Do you need it texted to you? Does that work for you or do you need it written? No, he doesn't know. Yeah. So that won't work either. What's that? What's that? I don't deny that my memory's bad, but I'm saying that I understand my memory is faulty at best, but I still try to remember things, but it doesn't negate the fact that if God told me something, I'm writing it down. I have good memory of certain things, but there are certain things that my memory is a little defunct. I'll say that. But I understand one key truth I learned at a very early age with my walk in the Lord, that when God gives me something and reveals it to me, I write it down. And I have it journaled and I have it written down and I can recall it and go back to it over and over and over again as often as needed, because that's what we're supposed to do. If we write it down, we have it. And lastly, we can learn from this example that there is a greater purpose. And the greater purpose is our way to confirm the things that God is saying to us, because it will line up with what? And it'll line up with his word and what? His character. Does God have a plan and a purpose that is greater than every person here? Yes, right? What is it? We should know. We've been given that plain and clear instruction. Huh? Salvation for who? For all, right? For all. For all. So we know God's biggest and greatest plan is that all can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as long as they have breath in their lungs. As long as they have breath in their lungs. So we know that God has a great purpose and a great plan for us. But guess what? It's going to fall into his character, into his heart, and his attitude towards creation. So we can look at how he looks at things and measure up what he is giving to us and go, does it match? Because if it doesn't match, what is it most likely going to assume? What can we start to think? It's not of God and it's more of us. It starts to reflect us instead. Our ability to hear God is impacted by sin directly. That's true, right? But I believe it's more impacted by willing ears. Because, yeah, sin will intercept and stop it, but guess what? We can easily deal with sin through what? Repentance, right? We repent, we get it under the blood, we're back into good grace with God. However, if your ear is still unwilling to listen to the things that God wants to say, that's a bigger problem. If we simply don't want to listen or can't be bothered to make time, we won't. But know this, it will not change God's ultimate expectation for each and every one of us. He knows every hair on our head, he knows our beginning and our end. We are foretold from birth and given a purpose. Those who hear the Lord fulfill their purpose, and those who don't just fulfill a purpose. I'll say it again. Those who hear the Lord fulfill their purpose, and those who don't just fulfill a purpose. I am one who wants the people of God to fulfill their purpose. I believe collectively as this church grows and each person fulfills their purpose, the church grows and the people in the community start to see the church grow. And I'm not talking about growth in number. That's true. That'll happen. But that's a byproduct of our growth and our maturity internally. Amen? Amen? So God, continue to do what you will continue to reveal yourself to us. Continue, God, to show your word, everything you're created, God, everything you want to use at your disposal, God, to reveal your truth to us so that we can know your voice, hear what it is you are saying, and be in step and in tune with your plan and your purpose for our lives, God. We want to meet your expectations. We don't want to disappoint you, God. We do not want to be disobedient to your word, your instruction, and your direction for our life, God. So, Father, if we have been there, and that's us, and that's where we are, God, we repent right now. We repent. We ask for your forgiveness, God. We ask, God, that you would just cover us in the blood of Jesus, and that, Lord, you would wash away that heart and that attitude that would believe that what you have to say isn't important. And that, God, you would cleanse our ears and our minds and renew them, God, with your word. Let it penetrate deep into our heart, God. Let us know your voice and hear you clearly what it is you have to say for us, God, so that we can fulfill that great and perfect purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I do want to open up that if you need prayer, you can come up. Other than that, we are going to get ready.